Hey, good morning. We're gonna give people a couple minutes to come in. We are shooting live from the OMC, New Day's new building, where we don't have any of the taps active right now. It's just tea this morning. So good. I say it looks like we got people coming in. That's wonderful. Welcome. 13 people, 13 households. Hey, I got a little bit of music in the background. I don't know if that's backward or forward. I'm asking my lovely assistant here. Did you say it's backwards? Okay, here. This way, can you read it now? I'm just kidding. Lovely assistant, could you help me? Could you put comments on here? I want to be able to see. Hi guys, I see you coming in. Down at the bottom, the little, yeah, there you go. And that is not what I want. All right, I see everybody coming in. Wonderful, good to see you guys. I'm looking at my screen here, trying to figure out how I can see your comments. And I guess I'm not going to be able to. You are going to be able to see each other's comments, but I can't. If you're saying something, I can't see it. But I'm just glad we're able to actually connect. So just for legal purposes, you're listening to All the Way Home from Enter the Worship Circle. Just so you know what music I'm listening to this morning. So yeah, I spent this morning in our building, in the OMC. Usually I record a version of the teaching before I go live so that if something goes wrong with the live stream, I can upload a pre-recorded video. I didn't do that this morning. I just spent this morning listening to some of my favorite praise and worship songs and just going to God and saying, God, may the words that come out of my mouth today be yours, not mine. I hope you guys have had that kind of time with God. As soon as the song is done, that's going to be my cue to get started. So welcome. Glad you guys are here. Hi. If you're new to New Day, if you're just checking things out for the first time, you know, maybe you're here because you know me, but you don't necessarily know the church that I pastor. And you kind of want to hear what do I have to say about what's going on. I would appreciate if when there's a message in the chat that says new to New Day, I would appreciate if you would just hit like on that so that I knew you were here, because I can't keep up with everybody who's logging in, and I'd love to know that you were here. So when the chat says new to New Day, if you're new to the church, just hit like on there. I would appreciate that. And we're going to kind of get started in just about a minute and a half here. Thank you to everyone who has given online and who has sent in contributions. We were able to send another check to Community Center of Hope to help provide food for people locally, and to Teamwork Africa to help provide food for people in Liberia, West Africa. People are having a hard time getting everything they need in some cases during this global pandemic. So thank you for your contributions. We've passed on almost $600 to each of those organizations, and we're going to continue to do that for two more weeks. Anything you contribute to New Day, we're going to take 25% of that and put it into providing food for people who need it across the street and around the world. Glad you're here. Let's pray. God, there are so many things that we can be praying about this morning. And my first prayer is for peace, for safety. I've already seen pictures of communities coming together to clean up their neighborhoods. I pray that there would be a breath and an opportunity to reflect and to consider, where do we go from here? What does it look like to pick up the pieces and not just put together what we had, God, but to make progress, to do a renovation culturally? I pray this morning, God, that we would hear a word from you, not just clever rhetoric or teaching. God, I pray that we would hear from you this morning. I pray this not because I'm worthy or anyone here is, but because you have invited us to come to you when we have needs and to express those needs and pray for them, not on our own authority, but on the authority of Jesus Christ. So we do that this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Yeah. What a week it has it's been. On Monday, videos surfaced from New York in Minneapolis, and I know that some of you have fatigue about the news, and maybe some of you were wishing that I wouldn't go there this morning, and I'm just at a point where it would be violating my conscience to not say something. If you don't know me, I do have a sister who lives in St. Paul. I also have raised for half their lives two kids who we adopted from Ethiopia. So they're black and spent half their lives in the United States. And I want to make sure that you know that I know that doesn't make me a part of the Black American experience. I'm not suggesting that. My daughter, though, lives in St. Paul. The drugstore across the street from her, the pharmacy, was destroyed a couple of days ago. And she told us that her building, that her apartment is in, that she lives in, would have been destroyed, would have been burned, except there were people there to convince the people who would have done the destruction of that building that it was that's a black-owned property and that they should just keep moving. So her home was spared. She's safe now. But boy, this hits close to home. For me. And I know I'm talking about the aftermath, and what I want to rewind to, what's really on my heart this morning as I've been praying and as I've been considering what needs to be said to my church this morning. I think I've got it narrowed down. I mean, there's a lot to be said. I think I've got it narrowed down, though. There's a lot of chatter and a lot of discussion about who's doing this, this opportunistic looting, and who's doing the destruction. Some are saying white supremacists, and some are saying that what should have been peaceful protests have gone too far. And I know even as I say those things, there are some of you who are hearing that and you're starting to get defensive, because this is what all the chatter has become about, and what all the news has become about, and we're arguing with each other about who's to blame. And I just want to take this morning to remind everybody, this is about George Floyd. What happened was wrong. And I just want to let that sink in a moment. I mean, I'm taking a moment to be quiet on purpose, because the temptation for some people is to say, what happened was wrong, but, and then to go into, well, medical examiner's report shows that he was intoxicated, or we don't know what happened. Well, it's not all police officers, but it's not the, but, no. What happened was wrong. There's no but. There's no explanation that needs to happen before we take a moment and let that truth sink in and just live with that and realize it has come to not just national attention, but international attention because he died. If he hadn't died, we don't know how often incidents like that are happening that we don't hear about because they're not filmed. We have a problem. Please, when you're tempted to justify or minimize or blame or say, well, the outcry from African Americans is, you know, we can understand that there'd be outcry, but this is too far, this or that. Stop, just stop saying but. We have a problem. And we need to figure out a way forward. And I don't come from a seat of self-righteousness here. A quick story. Yesterday morning, I was outside and weeding. And one of the beautiful things about weeding, and there aren't many, one of the beautiful things about weeding or working in the lawn is it gives you some time to think about things. And I'm thinking about the situation. And this is before, you know, the National Guard went to cities across the United States last night. This is before last night. This is yesterday morning. I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to tell you this story. See, sometimes we shouldn't know what goes on in people's minds. We shouldn't be able to hear what they're thinking. But I'm going to admit this to you. I'm sitting there thinking, well, what can I do about racial injustice in the United States? And I thought, boy, Michelle and I have talked about one day moving to a warmer climate as it was 30-some degrees this morning and it's almost June. We've thought about moving to a warmer climate. Well, maybe we could move to a place where there is a broader ethnic diversity. Maybe I could take some of my background in business and maybe I could start up a business and maybe I could be intentional about hiring people who are minorities and have you know, a broader spectrum and be supportive. And then I realized, as I was thinking that, I realized, wow, there's a lot of assumptions I'm making there. I mean, first of all, that I could be successful starting a business. But second, that it's my role to be the boss in an organization where I have the opportunity to lift up other people. What it exposes to me in my mind are some underlying assumptions that other Americans can't make. They don't have the opportunity to make those assumptions. And if you're sitting there thinking, yes, they do, everyone has equal opportunity, I need to tell you, we have a problem and we've got to admit it. That's what we're learning here. We've got to recognize that we have a problem. And I personally have a problem because this is how I see myself helping. And then I realized that and I backed up and I went, oh, wait a minute. No. I'm assuming that that's my role, but maybe it would be better if I were to find an organization that I could work in that already has a broader spectrum and maybe put myself in a position where my boss is a person of color. And then I realized, well, I'm assuming that I'd be able to just get a job and assuming that I would do well there and assuming that, you know, I'd work hard and I'd be able to get raises and promotions. And I thought, those aren't safe assumptions for everyone in America. Those are things that I would assume that I can do that not everybody can assume. And then I thought, what if we moved our family and we went to a place where I wanted to do good and wanted to make a difference and wanted to provide for my family and also wanted to be a contributing member of a community. And I got a job where I worked the same work as other people but didn't get the same pay, where promotions overlooked me and promoted other people. Why would I take a job like that? Why would I stay in a situation like that? And I started to realize there are people in our community in central Wisconsin. There are people who we worship alongside who have faced that reality, that it isn't an assumption that you'll be able to apply for a job you're qualified for and to get the job you're qualified for, where even if you do that job well, that you can't assume that you'll get a raise that's appropriate or a promotion that makes the most sense. But I live with that kind of assumption, that kind of mentality. So what I'm exposing, what I'm telling you is my thought process is changing as I start to realize some of the assumptions that I make that other Americans, not just someone over there, but someone in my community, they don't have the same assumptions. And that is part of the problem. We have a problem. Let's stop trying to justify. Let's stop trying to distract. I think about magicians who sleight of hand is happening. They're distracting you over here so that their other hand can do something. And a lot of what we're going to run into on the news and on Facebook is a lot of this sleight of hand that's distracting us from what's really important and what's really going on. Let's be a people who focus on what's really important and what's really going on. And let's hear the people in our community, in our congregation. Let's listen without saying, well, but it's just a time to listen. It's a time to hear. It's a time to reflect on some of our own assumptions and to get a better idea of the reality that we're living in. I think it's a good time to pray again. God, I pray that we would open our hearts to you, that we would allow you to shine a light in the dark corners, not just of society around us, but of the hearts within us. Pray that we wouldn't be distracted. I pray that we would have the kind of compassion that Jesus had as he looked at his surroundings and said, oh, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. God, let us realize he's talking about us. Let us hear the voice of the good shepherd and follow him into the next steps. Let those next steps that we take as individuals, as a church, as a community, as a nation, let those next steps be steps that open windows to heaven, that push back the gates of hell, and that lead to your praises being multiplied, your glory being magnified, your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Oh, thank you for tuning in. I'm not done. That just is part one. But thank you for tuning in and sticking around and listening. we need to be good at doing more of that. I hope God is speaking to you this morning and that he's helping lead you to truth. I talked in my prayer about pushing back the gates of hell, and for me, being involved in the local church, that is the mission. That's why I got on board with this. I didn't get into ministry for the money, okay? And some of you have heard my story. You've heard that I was at home. I had three little kids, three babies at home, and was flipping through channels and saw a special. It was the 10-year anniversary of the genocide of Rwanda. So it was 2004. I'm seeing this special on TV, and I'm seeing a situation where neighbors were killing neighbors. Today, that doesn't seem as far off as it did a week ago. I saw on TV neighbors killing neighbors. It was a power struggle. And hundreds of thousands of people were killed, entire families. And I'm seeing images of a woman carrying her child who had been killed. And I know we've got families here, so I don't want to get too graphic. I have sometimes forget we don't have kids in kids club. We have kids sitting around the table. There's going to be a lot to talk about with your kids, I know. So, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking about my kids and I'm thinking about how can I be a part of helping that evil not continue in the world? How can I be a part of not letting that kind of evil make its way into my neighborhood, my community? And like I said, that seems a lot closer now than it did a week ago. And as I thought about that and reflected on that, I thought there were laws in place that prevented it. There were systems in place to keep that from happening. But the real problem is not the laws and the systems and the education and the religious institutions. The real problem is the human heart and the corruption that we have, that we all carry within us, and the opportunity that others have to capitalize on that corruption and to set it ablaze. And that's what I'm just kind of a simplified version of what happened in Rwanda. And I thought, but the human heart is everywhere. So it can happen here. So what am I going to do? What can I do about the human heart? It's not going to be my words that convince people. There are all kinds of words and people subscribe to what they want to. It's not going to be my words. It has to be an act of God. It's got to be God at work. And so how can I introduce people to a God who loves them, a God who says, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to live. I'll show you how to attack hellish things and to bring the kingdom of heaven into the world so that your world looks more like heaven and less like hell. And I know that battle is going to go on. But as I thought about how can I be a part of doing that, I thought, the way God intersects the world today, his instrument, his tool for doing that is the local church. So I got very involved in my local church. And eventually my pastor said, have you ever thought about planting a church? And I thought, if I'm going to pour my life into something that's meaningful, something that I can believe in, something that I can get behind and say, I have poured my life into something that is good, something that is making a difference. I thought, I've got to move along that path. And Michelle was on the same page. And despite the difficulty of leaving a good job, of leaving the home we loved, of leaving the church we loved, despite those difficulties, we said, this is something we need to pour our lives into. So that's what brought us here. When Jesus talked about the church, Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he's asking them, there's this talk in the Old Testament about the Son of Man, and that Jesus is using that title to describe himself, and he's saying, so who do people say that I am?
They said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They're suggesting that maybe Jesus is one of these other prophets who's kind of come back to continue the message from God, the message of warning about being on the wrong path, and a message, a call to repentance, to change your actions, to change your way of thinking. Maybe he's one of those prophets. Jesus said to them in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Now this kind of goes back to where we saw last week that Peter, when Jesus said, will you leave as well? And Peter said, to whom will we go? You alone have the words that bring eternal life. This is another confession of Peter. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter makes this bold proclamation of faith. We don't see you as simply a prophet. We don't see you as simply our rabbi, our teacher. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. It just means son of Jonah. Apparently that was his dad's name. Blessed are you, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He's saying, God taught you this. God has revealed this to you. No person explained this to you. You have heard from God. I also say to you, continues Jesus, that you are Peter. Now the Greek word here is Petros. And upon this rock, and the Greek word here is Petra. So we see there's a relationship between Peter's name and Jesus saying, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overpower it. Some would say would not prevail against it. There are other translations there, but it all means essentially the same thing. Hell is not going to win when I build my church. And you, Simon, son of Jonah, now I'm calling you the rock, Petros. And on this rock, you're the little rock, and on this big rock, I'm going to build my church. And there's all kinds of argument in religious circles about what does that mean. The Catholic Church, for instance, takes that to say that Peter then is the primary, that everything is built on him, that he's the Bishop of Rome, that he's the Pope. And there's this centralized leadership that Jesus has established, and everything else needs to be connected to that centralized leadership. I'm going to suggest to you that when Peter teaches, he doesn't seem to think of himself as the centralized leadership, and neither do the other apostles. So, something is going on here. I think, though, it's probably more accurate to say that Jesus is saying, you are the one to say it first. You're the one to know it first. You're the one to understand it first, that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. And that is going to build. You are the first of many, and you're going to have responsibilities because you're the first. You're going to have opportunities to open doors, to make rules, to set this thing in motion. And I think it's interesting to see then what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He's writing to scattered churches. So this is years and years after his confession, after the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. It's after Pentecost, where churches are celebrating that right now, the remembrance of the time when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they preached, and Peter preached a message, and thousands of people repented. They turned from their old ways and they believed. And it's well after that. Churches have been established all over the Roman Empire because people were scattered. And Peter says to these scattered churches, he says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. I want you to hear that. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. If we just skip down to verse 9, but you are not like that. You're not like people who reject Christ. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You. We were in a series before the global pandemic started, and the series was Renovation, where we talk about breaking old things down and building something new, something that's better, something that's more effective. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, I will build my church. And what Peter then goes on to say, Peter, who Jesus said, and you're the first of that. You're that first stone. Peter is saying, okay, but Christ is the cornerstone. And he's the foundation, and you are stones being built on that. You believers, he's saying that to you today. And part of the renovation that we need to make, and this all ties in, believe me, part of the renovation that we need to make is to break down our assumption of the church as a central leadership, a hierarchical structure where you need permission to do ministry, where you need permission from me. And 500 years ago, the reformers of the church made that a point to say that there's this gap between clergy and laity and it needs to go away. And I'll tell you, if you're in my presence and you say to me, and some of you know where I'm going with this because you've done this, if you're in my presence and you say to me, well, I'm just a lay person, I'm going to flip my biscuit. And I want to be very clear about this, because some of you are going to say that to me as a joke, just to be like, hey, hey, I'm just a laborer, and think that it's funny. No, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's a lie from hell. I don't even want to joke about it when people are like, well, I'm just a lay person. I'm not a clergy person. Listen to the word of God. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You are his holy people. You are the stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. You are the church that the gates of hell will not overcome, that they cannot withstand. So, when we are tempted to think this idea that because this building that I'm standing in, by the way, this is New Day's Office and Ministry Center. This is the bar area, the taps, the cooler. It's for sale. If anybody wants to, you know, we're not going to be using the taps. We might be tempted to think, well, because that building isn't done with its renovations yet, it's closed to us, so the church is closed, and there have been delays because of the global pandemic. We can't get into the other buildings because of that, and gathering is even dangerous. There's so many things that you might be tempted to think the church is closed this summer. No. The church has opened dozens of locations around our community. Well, we have 43 people who are tuning in right now, not just 43 people, we have 43 households represented on this live teaching right now, and there will be some who hear it later. We have 43 campuses. Look at that. Even as I was talking, it's grown to 45. We have 45 campuses. God has opened 45 campuses, 45 places where people have turned from their sinful ways, have made a confession like Peter did. Not a confession because someone convinced them, but a confession because God put it in their hearts to say, Jesus is the Son of God. He is my King. I am no longer in charge. I'm following his lead. I've repented from my sinful life. My sins have been nailed to the cross. My old self is dead. I've risen to a new life in him. And it doesn't matter that you're sitting in your home, not sitting in this building. You are a royal priesthood. You are the church. You have a church. What are you going to do with it? You don't need my permission anymore. I grant it, if that's what you were waiting for. Permission to think of your household as a campus, as a church. And you don't have to brand stuff with New Day. It's not about New Day. It's about God's kingdom. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ reaching into every nook and cranny, every highway, every byway, every household. And it's not going to happen by inviting them all to one place. It's going to happen when we go. We've got to switch our mindset from come and see to go and be. And God has given us an amazing opportunity this summer to do just that. So I really want you to think about that. I really want you to think of your household as the church. You are the church. What are you doing to be the church? We had a small group that did a service project last week in my neighborhood. It was beautiful to see. They were able to keep a safe distance and to do everything they needed to do in order to show compassion and love and respect for the people they were serving as they did outdoor landscaping. There was beautiful to see the church in action. We've got a small group where they've decided, yeah, they're going to take a key verse from Sunday's teaching. They're going to discuss the message from Sunday, but then they're going to rotate teaching responsibilities and give each person an opportunity, a week, where they can share what God has been teaching them. That's beautiful. What are you going to do? We've got a small group that meets via video, and they simply just go around and ask the two key questions that help us pray better. What are you thankful for, and what's stressing you out? And they just share with each other. They encourage each other because that's so important. This life, the Christian life, is not a lone wolf deal. We need to be encouraging each other into acts of love. We need to even be challenging each other in some of the way that we're thinking because our human hearts are corrupt. We've got to be keeping each other accountable and supporting each other, looking into God's word, not just for insight, but obedience, so that we can say, here's what I think God would have me do, and say it out loud to somebody who then can ask later, how are you doing? How's that going? How can I encourage you? How can I equip you? That's the role I want to play for you this summer, is to be equipping you, to be giving you permission to be the church where you are. Just as I put together a playlist of some of my favorite songs, and you can use the playlist that we have online. We always want to be providing helpful tools, but you don't have to. Pick your favorite stuff. Fill your home with songs of praise and worship this week. You are the church. Open up God's word. Open it up to 1 Peter and read a chapter each day this week. What in the world would the church be doing if it left its Bible closed? You are the church. Open your Bible. Fill your home with God's word. Fill your heart and mind with his promises, with his counsel, with his direction. We're filling our minds with all this stuff and we're missing what's most important. Focus in on what's most important. You are the church. We have things that can that can help you out. This worksheet online, the RAD worksheet, which is about reflection, application, discussion. It's a tool to help equip you, but the same thing could be done if you had a blank sheet of paper and you made three columns and said, here's a passage of scripture, here's what I think God is teaching me, and here's what I'm going to do about it. Just do something to be the church where you are. Now, with that being said, I also want to let you know that we are working on putting together plans for what does it look like to gather again? What does it look like to open some things up? As I look around now, I've got the mess hidden from you, but it's all around me. It is a mess. Yeah, I'm going to ask my lovely assistant to give you a little view of what's going on here. From that view, you know, I was going to say you might not be able to see some of the rodent poop and stuff that that's for you kids. Pastor just said poop. Anyway, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're putting together essentially three teams that are going to overlap. One of them is going to focus on how do we make gathering together again, make sure that it is it's focused on the mission of making more and better disciples. Multiplying disciples who can multiply is what we want to do. So we've got one team that's going to focus on that kind of broader, bigger picture. And we've got another team that's going to focus on what are the guidelines that we need to follow in order to gather safely? What do we need to do in this space or in any space in order to show love and compassion for our community, for our church, for our neighbors, especially those who are our most vulnerable right now? And then we've got another team that's focusing on building in a quality that reflects a love for God. Okay, so team one is about the mission. Team two is about love for people. Team three is about love for God. How can we do things in a way that it doesn't come off as half-baked? So the kind of thing where somebody who is far from church or far from God can be an observer and say there's something beautiful happening in my midst. And right now, it's hard to imagine that. So we've got a team. They were just here yesterday. They did some mowing and taking out one of our coolers in order to continue to make progress. Our architectural plans are done, and they go to the state the middle of June, so we keep moving forward. What I want you to stick with this morning is don't wait. Don't wait for that. Think about your home as a campus of the Church of Jesus Christ, his church that he's building, that the gates of hell will not overpower. We're at a time right now where, speaking of time, I'm getting this from my assistant. Because of our setup here, I don't have my clock, so thank you for your patience. We're at a time right now where we can kind of palpably feel the battle going on. And I want us to be a people who can humbly admit we have a problem. I want us to be a people who can who can go to God and say, I know that I have a problem and that you are in the business of changing hearts. God, change my heart. God, equip me not to have power of my own, but to be a conduit for your power in my community. Let me pour my life into something that's meaningful, that's powerful, that makes a difference, that reaches my community in a way that shows heaven and that wards off hell. Let's pray for that right now. God, as you have said and given us who have faith in you the responsibility to be a royal priesthood. God, I pray that you would that you'd use your word to cast out any of these ideas that we're just a lay person. We're just a normal, not qualified. God, let your promises sink deep into us today. May your will be done in our hearts, our households, our neighborhoods, our community, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for tuning in. Go in peace. I'm going to let some more music play, and I think I'm just going to take my phone and I'm going to walk around the OMC a little bit. But if you got to go, if you got to do some breakfast thing or whatever, go do that. I'm going to take a little tour around. So anybody who wants to stick around, I'll be right with you. All right, if you got to go, go in peace. All right, if you're sticking around, thanks for patience. I'm taking my tripod, I'm turning it into a selfie stick. All right. So here's Michelle sitting in the sun. You can see outside, we've got some nice outdoor seating that I think we'll certainly utilize at some point this summer. This was the wall that separated the bar area from the dining area, and it is on its way out. There are some mystery pipes that we need to fix up. Another wall that we took out is between this smaller dining area and the kitchen. This space that you see, all the space behind me, this is all going to be children's space. That ugly black part, that's going to go away. This is the kind of thing we need to take care of. We need to make sure that this is all done right. There will be a door here that in on this wall that goes to the entry to get into the kids area. I could just go through this wall. Check out the kids' space a little bit closer here. Again, a lot of stuff that needs to come out. Eventually, this space is going to be our office during the week. We're going to punch a hole in this wall so that we've got a nice window out to the river. I'm going to go out to the river myself. Hopefully, lost Wi-Fi. Amplifies it outdoors. So we're working on it, and I'm looking forward to gathering with you, but don't wait. If you have a small group, or you've got a couple of people who you're close to, who are believers, who you can encourage each other, and you can spur each other on to acts of love and service. Do that. You don't have to wait for permission. You don't have to wait for a program. Do it in a way that respects how those the other people you're gathering with that respects the level of safety that they're looking for. Have that discussion, and then get together. Be God's people gathering around God's word in order to do God's will. And we'll keep giving you updates as progress is made. Thank you guys for tuning in. It was nice to see you. Nice to be together this morning. Continue praying for our country. I love you guys. Bye.